This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative.
Hi, friends. This is Tim McKenna, and this is another episode of Signal 337. I want to start off this episode with a little story. Every morning when I take my son to daycare, I drive him to daycare, we listen to some music on Spotify, and he's real happy just because he's getting to drive and get with me and hang out for a little bit before spending the whole day there. On my way home, I listen to a little bit more tunes, and then once I get back home, I take the dog for a walk. My dog is nuts. She wants to go for a walk all the time. As a mutt, which she's part Great Dane, part Lab, part Coonhound, she just loves being outside and going for a walk all the time. But we live in a neighborhood where there's an HOA, a lot of close homes, a lot of condominiums and townhomes and stuff, and there's some pretty strict leash laws in place in Pennsylvania. But particularly in our neighborhood, they really want you to make sure that you're cleaning up after your dog. And I totally get behind this, make sure that there's just not crap laying everywhere. But as I was going to clean up after my dog doing her business, my glasses fell off my face into said pile of crap. As you can imagine, that was not a really good start to my day. So that's why I want to talk about failure. Nice little segue. Well, that sucked this morning. Really, at the end of the day, you know, you just brush it off, or in this case, clean it, sanitize it, and make sure it's really clean. You just move forward. And something that has been kind of rearing its ugly head a lot in my life right now is this abject fear of failure and the paralyzing nature that it has on people. I have a bit of a different perspective on failure. And something that, like, I feel needlessly paralyzes our life way too much. And I've seen this in careers. I've seen this in multiple different career paths, different industries. I've seen it in people's own personal life. So I thought I would share a little bit about how failure truly is just learning. That's it. So after I came home, cleaned my glasses off very thoroughly, I started thinking about what failure really is. And this has been something that, like, has been on my mind a lot lately because I've been talking with some friends worried about projects in their, you know, with their company and how ultimately all the work that they do ends up falling flat on its face because of different people not understanding the requirements, having to depend on other people to do certain portions of the project, so that shared responsibility. Also, people are getting pushed out of their comfort zone and having to do work that they've never done before. And that is fearful. That creates a lot of fear and anxiety in some folks. But if you didn't push yourself, if you didn't try, if you didn't work smarter or harder or whatever it is, if you didn't put in the time, you're never really going to move anywhere in your life. So let me talk about a time where I was trying to get my first internship. And I could have, like, thrown the towel in and been like, well, fuck that. They screwed me over. I could just be complacent and just bitch about it. But I didn't. So, 2009, I was part of a scholarship program that my school had never been a part of. This was through the Philly Ad Club. And they put out a call for submissions to review different work from students across the Philadelphia area. And it was everything from design, marketing, communications, and my school administrators picked two of us to participate, and they thought we represented, you know, the best that Hushin had. And So we did, and we both won. My friend Heather and I both won a scholarship, and I won the top spot. So there was a top scholarship, $10,000, guaranteed internship at a Philly ad club agency, and recognition at this dinner. And then there was 2 second place, and then the rest all were pretty much the same amount of money. So I got like $10,000, and second place was $2,500 each, then everybody else was $1,000. Now, the scholarship was great. You know, that was nice little recognition. $10,000 totally helped. But what I was really interested in was the internship. I was really looking to make my career in Philadelphia and looking at the whole conglomerate of agencies that were part of the Philly Ad Club. I thought, this is great. I have basically my pick of any of these agencies. So I actually applied for a company, Neiman Group, and I knew them somewhat intimately because they are actually headquartered in Harrisburg. And I thought, this is the best of both worlds. I could literally move home for the semester, 2 days a week intern at Neiman Group in Harrisburg, and 3 days a week take the train, go to Philly. I ended up doing something very similar to this same plan, but I did not end up at Neiman Group. So what ended up happening, I went in for my interview and met with the art director and thought it went really well. Well, talked about my work, talked about the my goals and my plans for moving to this career. And I thought, well, you know, this is great. This is a done deal. It's kind of a formality. And this would be a great way for me to get into the industry. Well, about a week later, that's when I heard that they didn't go with me. And I was kind of devastated and also really pissed off. And what I found out as I called the folks that put on the scholarship from the Philly Ad Club, and they were really dismayed, and I just remember being really pissed off, really upset, and going to Sugar Mom's in Philly. It's no longer there anymore. And just having a bunch of beers and just being really sad about myself and just being really pissed off and having no one to blame, nothing. It's just, it is what it is. And I remember I called my dad and I was telling him what was going on. And my dad doesn't really understand what I do even still to this day. But he was like, look, are you just going to give up on this? I'm like, well, I don't know what else to do. And he's like, well, who's Neiman? Who's Mr. Neiman? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, well, call the guy whose name is on the building and see if you can meet with him. Don't just stop. Progress. And I thought, fuck it. Why not? Let me try it. I already had 4 beers. Why don't I try the next morning and call Mr. Neiman? So I did, while nursing my hangover, because I had way more than 4 beers that night. I called Neiman Group, and I asked for Mr. Neiman. And lo and behold, they actually patched me through to him. I introduced myself, said who I am, and said that, look, I won the scholarship, and I was hoping to get an internship with this. Can I get your advice on my next steps? Because I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. And he said, sure, how about this? Why don't you come to my house next time you're in Harrisburg? And I said, well, actually, I'll be there tomorrow. And he was like, great, here's the address. Lo and behold, he lives down the street from my parents, which blew my mind. Went to his house, he was very gracious, and we sat around his, his backyard patio and offered me a glass of wine. Very, like I said, very gracious. And he sat and listened to me and talked about, you know, what my goals, my future were. And he gave me some really great advice about how to move forward in this career. And one of the things he said was that failure, if you choose it to be, will be the wall. But failure can be a door. You can open it up. You can move forward. It's only temporarily closed. And at the time, I just thought that was some like hokey mumbo jumbo, but then I really thought about it and I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. He ended up giving me a few suggestions of places that I could call for an internship outside of the ad club, and not even a week later, I landed an internship at Benchmark Group Media, who publishes Harrisburg Magazine. And if it wasn't for him, and also my dad for pushing me, like, I feel like that would have set a behavioral standard in me that when you're faced with adversity, you just gotta quit. Since then, I have moved up in my career a great deal. I've done everything from front-end development, project management, account management, QA, always being a designer at the same time, and I have really moved very far in my career. And I really attribute my success and my fortune, luck, by just not giving up and not letting failures become permanent setbacks for me. Now, this is all my experience. This is all how I have gone through life. And I'm very fortunate. I am very lucky in a lot of respects. I've had to work hard, but at the same time, too, my experience should not be the template for everybody else to also build on, too. People have a lot of other different experiences in life, different circumstances, situations, and things that are going on with them that are not applicable for this. But I think that one universal truth is that mindset towards something is a powerful motivator. And if you have a mindset where failure is a dirty word, a negative, it's something that denotes that you're less than you who you are, that is always going to cripple you. Failure, I learned when working in startups, I really loved this, was that they just equate it to learning. And when I worked at a number of startups, they kind of always talked about Thomas Edison. Sure, they also loved Nikola Tesla, but they talked about Thomas Edison a good bit because they always loved that story about how he discovered so many different ways how not to make a light bulb until he actually made a light bulb. And it was kind of like a weird cultish mantra that they all like to kind of talk about. But it was interesting because their mindset was, okay, we learned how to do this way. We learned how not to get this result. Let's try something different. And failure to them was, they just said, it's just learning. Just, you know, make the equation that way. So I thought it was interesting that that mindset, that shift, and how they looked at the word and how they thought about it really ended up being an enabler for most of those folks to be able to create technologies that truly were disruptive. Like building a CGM, you know, device for type 1 diabetics that was all digital, that utilized sensors on your hands to be able to tell when your blood sugar was going to spike or drop predictively. I mean, that's pretty science fiction kind of level shit right there. But it's now becoming more of the norm. You have Medtronic and a few other larger companies that are starting to build completely digital CGMs right now. So failure to them was the catalyst for learning. But for a lot of people still, failure is this negative, this word, this mindset, this idea that you are less, that you can't amount to it. And I think it's the most debilitating viral idea out there, is that failure is something that makes you less than you. I see it as this way. To truly fail, to truly live that definition of you are less, this is going to set you back, if you want to really connotate that by really redefining what failure is, it's not trying. It's not pushing forward. It's not facing the adversity and trying to move forward. Sure, are you going to face adversity and when the next time you do it? Probably not. People fail often. People learn often. But eventually you will get there. Because failure, if it's learning, then learning is practice. And the only way you're going to get good at something is if you practice. I think there's a quote from Adventure Time is that sucking at something at first is kind of the first steps of getting good at something. I'm butchering this quote, but the same principle applies. You're going to suck at first, and that's fine. But eventually, you will get practiced, you will build your confidence, you will get better, and you will be able to overcome. So failure is something that to truly fail is to just give up and give up on yourself and not try. So these are just some musings that I was thinking about recently because I've got a lot of friends of mine who work in UX and work in product that work for different companies, and they're facing some of the same issues that I run into with our partners, with our clients, with whomever, getting them to understand what we're trying to do, like looking at the data, this is how we're creating something that'll actually help users. And trying to basically herd the cats, that is all the different folks in the work that you're doing. You know, they're the ones that are wanting you to build this thing, but they're trying to understand as well. So part of your role in creating a new product or creating a new service is getting that alignment and bringing them along so that they have skin in the game and they are just as invested in it with you. And what they're running into a good bit is altering perceptions, folks that are looking at things and questioning it. You've got some out and out people that just don't appreciate and don't agree with the project. So my friends and colleagues are reaching out and we're sharing kind of our war stories about, you know, how the industry and how things are going at work. And a lot of people are just like, look, man, I just give up. I'm tired. I don't want to deal with it. It's too much. I'm like, well, what are you going to do then? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure. The way that I see it is you only have one of two options. You can say, all right, I'm out. I'm done. Whatever. And that might be a good way if the project is really, truly horrendous. Or you say, no, I'm going to continue working. I'm going to try to get some progress moving forward. And that can be tough. Both of those decisions, both of those paths are tough. So your choices in life will cumulatively dictate how you approach everything going forward. And decisions are not easy to make. I mean, yeah, you might look at your coffee and be like, do I want dark roast or do I want light roast? Okay, that decision, not mind-bending or not earth-shattering. But when you're faced with real wicked problems and really tough decisions, you can put you into a state of analysis paralysis, and you don't know what options to make. To me, I usually rely on my gut. I rely on my instincts to make a decision, and then I stand by them. And if they were the wrong decisions, I will own them and move forward. But if your fear is based on failing, you're never going to get out of that cycle. If your fear is based on not making the right choice and potentially causing, you know, perceived harm to yourself or actual harm to others, like, yeah, I can understand that being difficult, but you have to still move forward. You have to make a choice to move something forward. And by doing that, you are going to learn. And it may not be the most easy position to be in. It may not be the best feeling to have, but that is what growth is. I look at my son, and, you know, this is a very simplistic analogy, but when he was crawling and learning to walk, he'd get up and fall down. He'd get up and fall down. He'd get up and crash his head into the TV stand, cry bloody murder. And, you know, eventually he's learned how to walk, and now he runs all over the goddamn house. It's a super simple analogy, but the same principle applies. He kept trying. He kept trying. And you have to surround yourself with people that want to see you succeed and see you try and see you move forward. So I think I've heard in the past that you are the sum of like the five most people, you know, the five most common people around you. So you're an amalgamation of those five. If you surround yourself with negative thinking, pessimistic, fearful people, those are going to be the traits that you are also going to take on. You're going to normalize those yourself. So surround yourself with people who do push you, who do push you forward, who are positive, who are encouraging, and will also be there for you when you're in the uncomfortable space of learning. And that will help you get through. That's what helps you face adversity and overcome. I know this is not a typical podcast episode around super things around design or business, but I think this is a fundamental concept, a fundamental talk about how to succeed in any business, in any endeavor. Whether it is you're starting your own firm, your own organization, or own agency, or if you're starting an Etsy shop, or you want to start painting for the first time. If you want to do anything, it's worth doing wholeheartedly. Another quote, and I know this one, is from Parks and Rec, Ron Swanson's character. Never half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing. It may be difficult, it may be a little bit fearful, but there's excitement in there. Go full bore, go full Monty, go into it and learn. And when you have that mindset of you're going to learn, you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to learn, that's the best way to continue to grow. You may learn 99 different ways of how not to do one thing, and then you hit upon that one way to do it right. So hopefully this short episode is a little uplifting for a midday episode, a midweek episode. I'm doing this kind of like in the beginning of the morning before my work. This is something I never normally do. So I'm sitting here with my coffee, with my newly cleaned glasses, and talking a little bit about failure. Starting off with how my dog took a crap and I dropped my glasses in it. So I could have been like, well, day's ruined, go back to bed. But nope. Cleaned my glasses off, got some coffee. Down here talking to you all about the fear, the negativity, and how you don't need to carry those burdens with you. Failure truly is just another word for learning. To truly fail is to give up. So I hopefully that helps you in whatever that you're doing at this moment, whether it's for work, personal, don't give up. I believe in you. Don't drop your glasses in dog turds. So thank you very much for listening to this shorter episode. Please check out my Patreon is now live, patreon.com/signal337, up and running. I'm going to be putting out some interviews pretty soon, and also been screwing around with some of my YouTube editing skills. So take a look out for that pretty soon. And other than that, look at some past episodes. I also want to thank my dad and Steve Neiman, who were pretty instrumental early on in my career to make sure that I didn't give up and I kept moving forward. So big shout outs to both of those guys. And lastly, remember everything that I say on here is my experiences, not indicative of companies or stuff that I work for or have worked for. It's all my own rants and rave. So thank you so much. Have a great day.